Hi there, welcome to PHP BB Weekly episode number 128 for Saturday, November 14, 2009. PHP BB Weekly is the weekly live podcast where we talk all about the PHP BB Bulletin Board software at phpbb.com. Coming to you from our nation's capital, well, if depending what nation you're in. I'm in every nation capital now. Coming to Washington, D.C., I'm Douglas Bell.
And I'm Elmo, coming from Washington.
And also joining us is our own Waskly Wabbit, Adam Ryer.
Yes.
Hey, Adam.
I'm down in Florida, where it's still 82 degrees.
And we're getting a balmy 29 with an inch of snow on the ground. It snowed yesterday.
I've got 50. Why do we talk about weather every single week?
Why not?
It changes every week, so.
Yeah. which is more than we get out of a 3.0.6 development.
Ooh. Oh.
Ouch.
Ouch.
No. We love our development team. It's not their fault the weather is weirder than they are. Yeah.
Doesn't mean we can't tease them, though.
Oh, we can tease anybody we want. No one is safe on this show.
Hey, Adam, why don't you tell them to release it? It's 3.0.6 after the show, like they normally do.
Yeah, right after our show.
I'll go ahead and release RC4 for you.
RC4 is out. RC4 came out a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
In that case, RC5.
Yes, RC5.
I'll post the secret URL to the SVN tracker that we use.
There you go.
No one knows but us.
Nobody. Oh, dear. Okay. Oh yeah. it's been an insane week. This past week. I don't know about you, David. I mean, you've had snow. You've had issues with SCOF. I've had the least amount of sleep I've ever had in my life this past week. So on that note, we can just get right into the show. But the reason we have Adam on today is that 5 years ago. It was actually kind of a infamous day or infamous time for PHP.
And the date was?
Well, it was actually November 15th of 2004.
November 15th, okay, close.
Yeah. November 15th, a day that will live in PHP BB infamy, or I don't know. Yeah, we actually talked about this 2 years ago. But I thought we'd bring it up again because, 2 years ago, PHP BB 3 hadn't yet come out. So some things have changed since then, and Adam's joining us because Adam, you've been. How long have you been on the support team now, Adam?
I joined in September of 2004, so a little over 5 years now.
Wow, is there any support team member that has been there longer than you have?
Current support team member, no. Neothermic was originally on the support team, and he joined about 1 or 2 weeks before me. So we're about even on the
that's dedication
on the roster
right there.
So are you two the longest standing members?
No, there's six. Actually, yeah, there's six people that are above me essentially, including Neothermic. So that have been here longer.
Yeah, but
so I'm close. Out of 45 to 50, I forget exactly how many team members we have, but
yeah. It's
close to the top.
Because the teams are changing quite a bit. Like I've mentioned that, if I was still on, had not left the mod team, I would now be the longest standing mod team member.
Mm-hmm.
So, but obviously I've long gone, and so are a lot of people because it's a big commitment. And I don't know how you're able to, for somebody that has to do support, support forms, that's got to be miserable. Not a lot of fun. So good on you for keeping that up, Adam.
Yeah, we've had a lot of task delegation in the past, because no one can just sit and support all day, except a couple of people that come to mind, but I don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
just moving around the jobs, doing different things behind the scenes and such.
Like Jackal? Nobody posts like Jackal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, 5 years ago was when there was a post in the announcements forum by then development team leader, Paul Owen, PSOTFX, and at first it was about a bunch of security exploit reports from a HowDark.com group. And at first, the teams didn't think that this was, that these were actual SQL injection issues, and that, you know, it was nothing you can really say about it. And so they actually made a post saying that these are not legitimate. So, and then 3 days later, a follow-up post saying, we just realized that this is a serious highlighting exploit, insanely serious. We are hastily preparing a new release. Please make this fix right away. And by the and later on the day, November 18th of 04, came out PHP BB 2.0.11, the Damn It's Cold and My Fur Won't Grow Back edition, I especially spent some time, David, going through every single release ever made by any of the PHP BB groups and noting down all of the names of the releases. There are some very good ones there.
We had a lot of fun with those names.
Yeah, and I've seen plenty of guys don't do as many of them more these days. Kind of stop doing it, so get back into it. Like 2.0.0 was the Golden Super Furry Doug's Birthday Edition. Not me, but Doug FFK. But anyway, I digress. Mm-hmm. 2.11 was acknowledged as a critical update, fixed that XSS vulnerability that was significant, and some other and another SQL injection. It added the visual confirmation directly into the code base, whereas before it had been sort of a add-on in the contributor directory. So it was a very significant release. The post of the release said, please spread news of this release far and wide. And that was in late November. So, but then it was actually not until late December when a little Perl script called the Santi A Worm decided to start spreading around the internet to make use of the pre 2.0.11 highlighting exploit to deface sites.
Yeah.
So that's sort of what the history, if you were the textbook history of it was, and that was kind of a nightmare for the support team, as I recall.
A little bit of an understatement, but yes. I actually remember. I had only been on the team for about 2 months at the time, and I was sitting in our chat room, and this actually happened at the time that someone had gained access to phbbb.com using this exploit at the time, and they were able to post various other. Post various screenshots of like private forums and things like that. And I remember someone contacting me in the chat room. It was late at night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, linking me to these screenshots. And the sudden panic attack, you know, happened because we realized someone had access to the .com server, and there really wasn't anything we could do about it at the time, since neither of us had access to the server. So
how would that have happened though if phbbb.com would have been updated to 2.0.11 by then, wouldn't it?
It happened beforehand, before 2.0.11 was released.
Oh, so this is around when the initial announcements were made in early November.
While we were still in discussion with this person, this happened. Essentially, before the announcement ever happened, we had been in discussion with this person who supposedly discovered the exploit. It had been going on for a couple of weeks, and both parties at the time agreed that there wasn't any SQL injection issue there. And in fact, it actually turned out to be a little bit more serious than that, but there really wasn't any SQL injection there. Nothing could be done with it as far as we were aware. What they discovered later on after the fact that something could be done with it, and it actually allowed full code injection in some cases, where you can execute, you know, literally command line code on the server and bring the whole server down, as opposed to just gaining access to the forum. So it was a little bit more serious than we had originally thought. Actually, about as serious as it could get when you're actually executing commands on the server.
I find it a little interesting. Now, I know you're not as big of a code person, Adam, so maybe David could look at this, but in the follow-up about the exploits, right before, when they said they were still preparing 2.0.11, they said the urgent code that needed to be fixed was in viewtopic.php, and I'll put a link in the chat room, but it appears just to be removing a URL decode function out of, you know, what would have been a trim and HTML special cares. So I guess I'm curious to know, just from a code standpoint, David, what exactly does URL decode that made this so dangerous?
You actually cut out a little bit on me there, but your question was basically, what does URL decode do that made this such
a serious, because the only change for this particular vulnerability, they removed URL decode.
Yeah, so I don't know exactly where the exploit was, because I wasn't around back in those days, and I am not a fan of PHP2.
No, really.
But the fact is, it sounds to me like and Adam may actually know more about the code there than I do, but it sounds to me like what it did is basically take user input or variable input and be able to just decode the string and then execute that code, in which case you could execute any code that you wanted on the server. Then you could basically put in SSH code and have the server execute it for you. That's what it sounds like to me.
It was basically you could put URL encoded input into that variable. You could basically end the line and then just throw a PHP system line in there.
Right.
And do whatever you want at that point.
Like SQL injections are typically, you know, what you would do is you would, in the user input, you could end a SQL query and then begin a new one. Mm-hmm. In an SQL injection, and in which case, you know, then you have various things that you could do to the database. You can log in as an administrator. You can list users. You can delete tables. You can truncate them, or you know, various other things. You know, logging.
Now it's your turn to cut out. So.
So a popular one, of course, is being able to log in as an administrator. But what that does, what SQL injections would have done, was just give somebody access to the PHP bulletin board, and log in, and you can basically do various things with the bulletin board. But it would have limited you to anything within the database that the bulletin board was installed in, or anything that you could have done with the bulletin board itself. Now, code injection, in this case, would have given you more control. It would have given you control over the server as if you had SSH access, which is, you know, if you have a VPS, and some more rare shared hosting environments have this, but usually VPS, dedicated server, colocation hosting servers, you have access to that server via SSH terminal. When you have that kind of access, you can do pretty much anything that you want. You can bring it down, you can log in, you can move things, delete things, download things. There's really no limit as far as what you can do. It's very, very serious vulnerability to have a code execution.
One of the most popular things they'll do there is they'll essentially, if they have root access, if let's say, for example, PHP is running in an elevated user that it shouldn't be, which brings to another point. If PHP was properly configured on the server, it really wouldn't have that much impact.
Right.
But if in most scenarios PHP is not properly configured, and let's say it's running at an elevated user, essentially what you could do with that, what a lot of people do at that point, is they'll create a new user so that they can log in whenever they want. They'll just create that new user, minimize the traces of it, and then just log in whenever they want with that user. And they could be going on for weeks at a time doing that without any knowledge of it. So it is a fairly serious exploit.
Is this the kind of thing that happened last January with the PHP list exploit that caused phpbb.com's week-long outage this past January?
I don't remember specifically what that vulnerability was. I'd have to look it up, but I don't know if it was the same type of thing. I'm not 100% positive.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure either. I don't remember exactly. I know that there were various things that enabled him to have access to. Obviously, you know, having access to the password, then he used it to log in as a team member, grab private information, you know, go to the servers, and then he was able to delete database tables. But he also downloaded database tables, so he had that kind of access to the server. So it was, I think, a little bit more limited, but not much. I mean, it was still a very serious one that came in the PHP list script.
Mm-hmm. So I just was just curious about asking that. So, but it's I think that, you know, it was interesting to note the Santi worm result is kind of where PHPVB sort of got its sort of unfair reputation as being unsecure, especially noting that this was a vulnerability that was fixed a full month before it was actually exploited, and that a lot of the fault for the fact that it did get so rampant is because of so many people not upgrading their boards to 0.11. And I'm sure, you know, Adam, you were on the support team. You guys had to deal with this, like, all the time.
Yes. Well, after that fact, it was actually...
Actually,
after that particular incident, that's when we started working on the formation of the incident investigation team. Because the reports that were coming into the support forums, we literally had... you know, 15, 20 every day for the next couple of months of forms that were essentially defaced, taken over, accessed, everything like that. And in some cases, the entire server was compromised. So we basically took a step back, went back to the drawing board, and tried to change our approach to how we deal with these security issues. And Santi really was essentially a wake-up call in that regard, where something as simple as this could turn out to be something so powerful.
Mm-hmm. The incident investigation team came out in November of 2005, and you guys later got a tracker up within a few months, and the tracker is actually still there. It's kind of hard to find if you don't know that it's there, but it is there. But I would assume you guys haven't, ever since you guys dropped support for PHP-BB2, you haven't really had a lot of incidents reported to the tracker?
We do have a lot of incidents reported. Everything that we've seen so far has nothing to do with PHP-BB. As it stands right now, and it still stands right now, there are still no known vulnerabilities, at least vulnerabilities to the point where you can gain server access. There's been a couple of small things, but you can't gain access to being an administrator or something like that. Nothing that will allow the user to do something more than they were originally intended to do. There haven't been any security issues in that regard. So PHP-BB3 at this point has an impeccable security record. But we do have reports on 3. Most of the time, from what we've seen, is it's... About 75% of the time, it actually is from malware on the user's computer that's scraping and monitoring FTP passwords and things like that. So it has nothing to do with the server software, but rather malware on the user's computer. But we do get reports pretty often.
So, and in those cases, what's happening, and I'm guessing, I know Adam and Patrick, who is Nox Wizard, you guys have probably been the most active in the incident response team. I used to work a bit in there, or at least follow everything in there. But correct me if I'm wrong, in that a lot of the issues are basically what happens is that when a malware attacks the user's computer, or basically it monitors the user's computer for FTP and then uploads a script to most index.php files or certain files on the server, like searches for certain files on the server, and then puts script code there, correct?
That is one of the things that can happen. That's probably one of the most common. A lot of times it targets template files as opposed to PHP files. Because most of the time it's just a defacing, throwing spam up, things like that. But more, It's more from an advertising standpoint. They want to get spam out there as opposed to taking over the server. So most of the time they just target template files and just deface it. But there have been a couple of more serious issues. So I actually had one incident a couple of weeks ago, a couple of months ago, where someone had gained access to the user's email account and was resetting passwords. So again, that had nothing to do with vulnerability and PHBBB, but it was pretty difficult to track down.
So what the incident response team is, you know, is responsible for is not necessarily to look at an incident. So let me back up a little bit. The responsibility of that team is people, when they have a PHBBB bulletin board that has been defaced or hacked or compromised in any sort of way, they post a report in the incident response tracker. Then what the incident response team does is they look at those reports and say, okay, let's look and let's find out where the vulnerability came from, because at that point you don't know where it came from. You don't want to assume that it didn't come from within PHBBB, but you have to find out where it did come from, so that if it came from within PHBBB, that kind of vulnerability would be fixed. And so what they do is they go through, find where it came from, if possible, and then go through and help the user clean up that the PHBBB installation and put it back online. And in a lot of cases, it's, you know, finding, okay, the vulnerability came from here, so you might have, you know, virus or malware or whatever that's causing your issue. So you need to clean that out, and then, you know, this and then upload those to clean out your installation or whatever, that sort of thing. Am I correct?
Right. That would be correct, yes. Essentially, we, you know, look at the log files, look at the exactly what was done, say, okay, is this a known issue? Is this a known malware issue? If so, instruct the user to do this. If not, look at it a little bit further or find out exactly whether it was some vulnerability in PHBBB that we don't know about. And if it is, which we haven't found so far, but if it is, we will pass it along to the security and development team to take over from there.
And then once, if a vulnerability is found within PHBBB, and that vulnerability is passed on to the security and development team, they would immediately release an update for PHBBB containing that security vulnerability fix. So the fact that we have not seen any quick updates to PHBBB 3.0 point whatever is a really good thing, because that means that no serious security vulnerability has been found in any 3.0.x installation.
Totally.
I mean, there's a few minor, mostly security precaution type stuff where, like, okay, this could be used to cause a little trouble, but nothing serious.
Right. I think there was one security vulnerability where marked topics could be marked as red or something like that a while back. So nothing, you know, serious. But
I think it's interesting to know or to consider what has sort of changed a lot within PHPBB. Sort of in the aftermath of what was the Santi worm, and you guys have already touched quite a bit on it, especially with the incident investigation team being formed to help users who had their sites defaced or by any kind of security issue, even if it's not specifically PHPBB related. We've also kind of seen some of this with the development process, and you mentioned your security team, but as well as PHPBB2 had a code audit in the summer of 05. PHPBB3 had its own paid security audit in the fall of 2007. And I guess, is there anything else that is, like, really sort of, you think, have seen sort of change in how PHPBB operates as a result of this?
It really started, security had, being perfectly honest, security in PHPBB2 was pretty bad for a while. Up until 2.0.14, there were security issues all over the place. And then we finally essentially woke up to that fact and started taking it more seriously. One of the reasons that 3.0 took so long to release was that when it was originally written, we were using essentially the same coding guidelines that we were in 2.0. And we got away from that, started designing it from the ground up with security in mind. Essentially, a lot of things had to be rewritten.
Yeah.
So security really was the first and foremost most important feature of 3.0. Various APIs were put in place. In 2.0, a lot of the vulnerabilities that were occurring were as a result of mods. Essentially, in 2.0, a lot of the security was left to the mod authors as opposed to being part of the core of PHP-BB. So you didn't have all these APIs, hooks, and things like that that you could take advantage of that would automatically sanitize code or things like that. So there have been a lot of things added, a lot of precautions added to the code to make sure that something like this doesn't ever happen again.
So I do remember that, like, around 2005, which is when the development team really started moving a lot faster than it had before, and that was they started rewriting, or I should say rewriting a bunch of the parts of PHP-BB 3 that had already been, you know, significantly changed in for 2.2. And a lot of it was very different. The code format was quite a bit different. I remember just noticing this when I was following CBS. And so I can totally see that really around the 2005 is really around the time when a lot of this stuff was starting to change for PHP-BB's point of view.
Yeah, you know, I think the Santee Worm in that entire episode, I think, was probably one of the best things that could have happened to PHP-BB. It sounds strange to say it that way, but it really was, because what it did was it brought security focus to mind on the PHP-BB teams. It really went, okay, security is a huge, important issue within PHP scripts, and it suddenly made everybody security aware. They started looking for security experts to consult with, and it became the number one focus. It was such an issue that it became the number one focus and the primary concern when developing 3.0.0. So as far as, you know, that goes, I think 3.0 is a result of what happened with the Santee Worm episode. It really, all the lessons learned from that and going, wow, you know, we really, you know, it's so serious and PHP-BB is so popular that we cannot afford to have even the tiniest security vulnerability within our code. So we have to make it the most important thing we do. You know, and so that more important than speed and releases or features or anything like that, more important than everything else, security had to take precedence. And I think that comes out in the fact that PHP-BB doesn't allow HTML in forum posts, and that was taken from a strictly security standpoint of, like, you know, we're not going to allow HTML in any way, shape, or form because there's too many possibilities for vulnerabilities within that sort of thing. Now, I still think that you can do an HTML posting, allow some sort of HTML or rudimentary HTML posting without any security vulnerabilities, but you have to look at PHP-BB's history and go, you know, they went, we don't want to risk it. We don't want to risk even the smallest vulnerability within 3.0.
I think it's also nice to know if you just look in within months of when this happened, it sort of prompted some very quick changes for PHP-BB. I mentioned 2.11 itself was the first building in of the visual confirmation package, which was originally sort of a separate add-on which you could add to PHP-BB 2, and again, it's kind of funny because now we're talking about that so much today with the CAPTCHA plugins. 2.0.12, actually in between that, they made a much more public mailing list, which is actually now gone because of it had its own security problem, but still, you know, for better letting people know in the update. 2.0.12 included the version check for the first time, which the teams had originally been very much against because of sort of performance and network reasons, but they sort of really changed their mind about that. 2.0.12 also got rid of putting the PHP-BB version number in the footer, which, if you recall, that was kind of how the Santee Worm spread, by Googling old PHP-BB version numbers. So getting rid of that, so that's no longer a major issue. 2.0.13 upped the requirements of the PHP 4, getting rid of PHP 3 support, which allows for use of much more secure PHP functions in many cases. So,
yeah, and then, of course, you have it's kind of interesting to think about the fact that they had the update checker, or before they really didn't have the update checker. So then it was, how do you notify everybody who has PHPBB installations that there's a new security update? Which is, that's got to be the most important thing, that they've got to be
notified. They were kind of geeky like I was and checked on PHPBB.com every single day.
Yeah, and probably. And probably one of the main reasons the Santi worm did spread was the fact that there was no update checker. And so you rely, it's like, imagine, running software on your computer. And now, as Max, we have most of the software, I'd have to say, better than 90% of the software that I run on the Mac has an automatic update checker in some way.
An auto-installer.
On the application. Yeah. And an installer. Well, it doesn't automatically install unless you tell it to. It looks for an update and says, hey, there's an update available. Would you like to download this update? And here's the changelog for it.
Click the button. It downloads, installs, restart the program. That's it.
Right. And so if there was a security vulnerability in any of those applications, you get notified, within a week of its release, and then and download the update for it. And with no notification, you might be running on several versions of outdated software, and there's a security update which you don't know about, and you won't know about, and because you don't purposely go to the software websites every week or month or even 6 months and go check for an update. So you rely on those time to update because there's a security vulnerability here.
Go ahead, Adam.
It's interesting to note that at this time, in late 2004, 2005, or in those couple of years surrounding that, that Internet security really wasn't as much of a priority as it is today in any web application, whether it be PHP, BBB, or any other application. Security just really wasn't focused on as much as it is.
The Internet was innocent in those days.
Basically, yeah. And
we're only talking 5 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, a lot in internet time, but in reality, not.
I think it'd be fair to say that it wasn't as big of an issue when PHPBB2 was under development. It was certainly becoming much more of an issue around the 2004, 2005, but we were still using old code. So.
Right. Yeah, and Santi really was, from an internet perspective, it was one of the largest mass defacements ever to spread the internet. One of the largest worms ever to go around the internet.
Probably one of the first ones that made such use of Google. Google started.
I was actually going to make that point, that the reason that it spread as fast as it did is when we first found out about this thing, we notified Google, we notified MSN, we notified all these search engines, and basically said, here's what this worm is doing, and you need to block this from your end. We're doing as much as we can on our end to patch the system, but on your end, you need to block these searches. And it actually took Google a couple of weeks to even start doing anything about that. I don't know if they started blocking it until sometime in January. So it was at least a couple of weeks. So they were a little bit slow on their end. But again, it all came from that same perspective that people really weren't aware of the capabilities of what someone could use Google to do. They could actually use Google as their tool to propagate this form. And that really hadn't been approached that much before. So it really was a fundamental change in the way people viewed security around the internet, not just for PHPBB.
If you think about it, look at this. The internet was invented in, 1990? the World Wide Web, I should say.
Getting really early out here, David.
1990, and most of us here were born before that time period. And
well,
so
I wasn't.
Yeah, you weren't. You're an exception.
91 for me.
Yeah, so really, you grew up in the internet or in the World Wide Web.
Well, I didn't get internet in my house until I was 12. So.
Yeah, well, same for me. I really didn't get it until I was about 10 or 11, and that seemed late to me. Everybody started talking about it. You wondered what this World Wide Web thing was, and at the time, of course, there was dial-up, and everybody accessed the web on this dial-up connection. Yep. And AOL, internet, and of course, you had the movies like You've Got Mail that came out in 6. And
remember AOL? This many free hours.
Yes, this is, you had so many
free hours.
Yeah, it's like text messaging, or not, you know, cell phone messaging. Now it relies on, you know, it's like, okay, I have so many free minutes, or you know, I have this many minute packages. I can, you know, 1,000 minutes,
America,
or, you know, that sort of thing.
Keywords for everything.
Yes, and so that was how you
check us
the
out
web.
At phpbbweekly.net or America Online keyword phpbbweekly.
And yeah.
Oh, those were the days. Not.
And then you know, you had these real basic things, and you know, like you would go to websites, and most personal websites had these really flashy, wacky graphics that were, you know, in black sites and things and broken HTML and all sorts of things like that. You know, that was very commonplace back then.
Yeah.
And think about it, you know, you look, and that was, you know, that was in the 90s, and we're only, you know, we're only about 10 years later.
GeoCities.
Yeah, GeoCities, yes, which has now finally gone offline. I don't know, did you see the XKCD?
I did.
That was hilarious.
That was awesome. I was laughing for a couple minutes. That was hilarious.
XKCD, which is a webcomic. If you've never seen it, it's very funny. It's the only webcomic I've ever seen with stick people, but it's just hilarious. And they did this tribute to GeoCities, because GeoCities was going offline. They did this tribute by changing their website to be more of the 90s era HTML code, which was, you know, broken HTML, flashy, weird graphics, annoying things, black, you know, that sort of thing. It was quite funny and very authentic. But
all right, let's,
you know,
go back to what we're talking about.
Yeah. Anyway, so, and then think about when the iPhone has come out. You know, that there's now what, like a million apps, something like that. I don't know. It's probably not 100, that many.
100,000
apps. There you go. For the iPhone, and how much things can change. But basically, my point is how much things can change in the span of 5 years, 10 years, and now it's been, you know, 5 years since the Santi worm, and things have changed a lot. You know, that was back in the days where people didn't think about security because the internet was in a...
Yeah, there's actually people that have, you know, job titles. I'm an internet security consultant. That's what they do. And that job didn't exist.
It's like
5 years ago.
That's like Michael's job, no. Even, you know.
Right, yeah, you know, and...
Yeah, well, network security, internet security, things like that. But yeah, but actual internet application, PHP, ASP, JavaScript, things like that, that are actually focusing on security. Those positions didn't exist a couple of years ago. So right around that time, like, and like I said, there really was a fundamental change in the way the entire internet looked at security.
I mean, back then, as you think about security, a little more about, you know, you could get a virus on your own computer. But how much does it, you know, the actual site you're running, this you know, fancy Web 2.0 interactive site that's no longer just a bunch of static HTML code can get hacked?
Yeah, did you ever hear about, going back into, you know, the early days of the internet, when you were on dial-up, did you ever hear horror stories about cable? Those sorts of things? Like, oh, you can't... You know, those are insecure. You can't be connected to the internet all the time. That's
yes.
That's bad. Remember that?
Oh yes, and actually, at the time, that was true. At some point, because people didn't, for example, people didn't have firewall software. They had virus detection, maybe, but firewall. What was that? Nobody had that. Only corporations had that. So they had all these open ports listening all the time. So there were, you know, a lot of issues there.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so. It was a legitimate concern at the time, but nowadays you look back at that and you think, were those people crazy?
Yes, exactly.
I don't know how I ever survived on 14.4.
I know, it's hard to believe now when you have YouTube and you're watching high-quality videos all the time, and it's like, you know, 5 years ago, you know, 10 years ago, we weren't doing this sort of thing.
Yeah.
You were
fighting between QuickTime, Windows Media, and RealPlayer.
You know, your biggest challenge was being able to, you know, how fast you could download a picture. We don't even worry about that anymore. You don't care how big the picture is. You just want to see it.
Yeah.
you know? And
that,
so
I would download pictures like little bits at a time. Better quality as you go.
This must have been back in like 1996, 1997. I remember wanting to download a game, a demo for a game, and the demo was like 14 megabytes. And I was like, whoa, you know, that's huge.
And it took all day. Yeah, like you would set those up to download over.
Now our episodes of this show are like average around 40 megabytes. That's for the smaller version.
Yeah, I actually couldn't download it because the internet connection that I was on, it was a dial-up connection, but it actually booted you off after a certain period of time. I was never able to finish the download because it took too long. So it was going to take something like 4 hours to download the thing at 14 megabytes.
And then 56K modems came out, and you're like, whoa, this is awesome, blazing speed.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so... let's get back to what we were talking about. David, you mentioned this whole 1990s thing for a reason. Would you mind completing your reason?
Yes, and that was, you know, it was all encompassing of basically the fact that, you know, how much the internet has changed and how much the focus has gone from just developing a nice piece of software to have to develop a, number one, secure piece of software first before a nice piece of software. And, you know, that's the primary focus now. That didn't used to be there. So that was the result of these security vulnerabilities. You know, it's interesting to look, and I follow a lot of the PHBB trends on Twitter, basically, and that is, I look through and find people that are mentioning PHBB.
You have free time.
Right. Well, you know, it's part of the Star Trek Guide thing. I do it every, And one thing that I noticed... It's not hard to follow that, by the way, the PHPB thing. Because either you can read it or you can't. You know, there's a lot of PHPB chatter in other languages which you can't read. But it's kind of interesting. There are some people like, you know, I'm getting rid of PHPB because of its security issues. And so I thought, you know, I always reply to those and say, what security issues? Oh, well, all the spammers. I thought, well, that's really interesting. It's actually kind of a trend. A lot of people think somehow that the spammers that spam on websites are a security issue.
It's not.
It's not. No. And Adam is – I'll let him talk about this because he's what's your take on that?
Yeah, it's not – well, I mean, spam is an issue. It's a universal concern across the board. It's not – something that's unique to one product. It has nothing. It really has very little to do with how the product was designed. Now you can use security issues to propagate spam, but spam in itself is not a security issue. It's basically just a user coming to a board and posting something that shouldn't go there. I mean, spam can happen as a result of an automated process, or it could be as a result of a manual process. It could be any number of things, but it has nothing. Essentially. The security issue comes from a user using the software in a way that it wasn't originally intended. Being able to do things that the software originally does not intend you to do, getting access to elevated levels of things like that. A user coming to a board and posting a topic is something the board was intended to do. That's something that the board was intended to be used for. So it's not a security issue. All it is taking... using the board's original purpose to your advantage. So it's definitely not a security issue. Now, it should be something that should be examined, should be something that should be a concern, and it should be approached and tried to cut down on as much as possible, but it has nothing to do with security.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting how people mistake that for a security issue, but and like you said, it doesn't have anything to do with that. And it is important, and that is one of the biggest things that is being addressed here in 3.0.6 is the spam issue. And because any very popular piece of software, and you talk about WordPress various blogging softwares, bulletin board softwares, and I'm talking about all of them here, IPB, vBulletin, SMF, PHPBB, they all have to deal with the spam issue. Anytime you have bulletin boards that are that popular, they've got to deal with it. And so PHPBB has dealt with that in several different ways. One being that the new CAPTCHA plugin system, obviously, and everything within 3.0.6, the new registered users, and we've gone through that before. But that, and number two, mods, which people can install to prevent those sort of spam issues. But basically, my point is this, and a lot of people mistake spam issues for security issues, and those two are very different things.
Yes, and certainly different in terms of severity. Spam,
yes.
You can it's an annoyance. You can delete
yeah.
it, but it's now it's one of the soft skills that you now have to, if you're going to take on this job, you got to deal with spam. You know, and there are a lot of soft skills that you have to know when you're going to be the board, I mean, of a PHP board, and that's one of the reasons why we've mentioned so often Patrick O'Keefe's book, because it really does do a good job of describing the soft skills you have to know. And one of them is spam is a reality of life. Security, on the other hand, very bad. Not your fault.
It's security is one of those things that can ruin your weekend or your week.
Yes.
Spam is an annoying problem, certainly, but it's not going to ruin your week. Yes, spam can ruin your minutes.
I think that's the title of this show, Spam Can Ruin Your Minute.
Security will ruin your week. Spam will ruin your minutes.
There you go. And we've certainly seen that at phpbb.com. They've had a couple of weeks ruined just from security that it wasn't their fault. But
you know, and it's kind of interesting. If thinking about it now, you look at software like WordPress – and extremely popular software.
Yes.
And they're being hit by a lot of security issues now recently, and I think it's due to their fast increasing popularity.
Yes.
You know, popularity that they didn't have before, and now all of a sudden they've got it, and they have to deal with code that is, I mean, when you look at it, it's very outdated. It's ugly stuff.
They've had another one this week.
Another security release?
2.8.6 came out this week, yep.
So that would make, what, five or six security releases in the last...
Came out, yeah.
Yeah.
It's ironic because, you know, they were when they came out with 2.8.0, they were so proud they had, like, no security fixed vulnerabilities that ever came to light for 2.7, because 2.7 was their big rewrite, sort of akin to PHPBB3. And 2.8 was just building on top of that, and all of a sudden this has had a bunch of security releases come out. I call it sort of the Windows way, because you know Windows gets hit so much security problems because it's so popular. You know, I've mentioned this before. When Apple released Safari for Windows in 2007, I believe it was. 2006 actually. 2007, I had it right. They were like, this is the most secure browser ever for Windows. 2 days later, hacked.
Yes. Yeah, and that was really funny. But, it's kind of...
Windows, Apple.
Yes. They needed to leave the world of Windows. But it was nice, you know, for Windows users to be able to use at least the same browser, because I know Mac users cannot use IE anymore, which presents a... It's a blessing and a curse at the same time.
Yeah.
A blessing in the fact that we don't use IE, and a curse because
we
it makes development.
For it. Yeah.
It had before the Intel and before we could run Windows and Mac in the same Mac platform. You know, it made testing development quite difficult, but yeah. Now it's not anymore. But
well,
you know,
except that you have to pay for Windows to do it. I'm not going to pay for no Windows.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes the company that you work for, if you're a developer, they'll do that. So that's what we did.
Oh, I'm David Lewis, and I actually do development work. I get paid for what I do.
That's right.
Oh, I love pretending that I'm actually teasing people.
You know, and it was kind of interesting. And I think the Mac platform does rely on the security of the the Safari browser actually relies on the security of the operating system instead of relying on its own security. And I think that was probably one of the biggest reasons that it was attacked in the way that it was. Mm.
So, any last thoughts about looking back at the Santee worm, and you know, as you mentioned, it was certainly a. I'm sure were there any? I guess I'd love to know this, Adam. Were there any casualties within the support team from having to deal with that at the time?
No fatalities, but a lot of injuries.
Lots of injuries.
Luckily, we were able to get through it. But it was a.
You know,
it's hard to imagine that it was actually 5 years ago. So it's a completely different world.
The hardest part about the security issue or the Santee Worm issue that happened was completely and utterly destroyed the PHPBB reputation. And really, it did for a while. But the 3.0 has kind of started to bring it back a little bit. But I found it kind of interesting back in the day when I did join the mod team, and back in 2007, right before PHPBB 3's release. Any time that you mentioned PHPBB to a professional PHPBB or PHP developer, crowd or conference or meetup or whatever it might be. It was always frowned upon because, like, ooh, PHPBB, they're known for their security problems. And so when you say, oh, yeah, I'm, work with the security team at PHPBB, they sort of frown at you and go, oh, brother, And so and that was because the Santee Worm and the security issues that existed in PHPBB too. So I think and there was talk before about, possibly changing PHPBB's name so that it could get the reputation away from that. Basically destroyed its reputation back in 2005. But I don't think that's an issue as much anymore now, 2 years after 3.0's release.
Yeah. I guess I was going to kind of ask that, Dave, because we did last talk about this 2 years ago. I brought this up as part of one of our shows. I think it was like 39 or something, one of those episodes. And I was going to say, do you think anything has significantly changed since then?
I feel like it has. Now, people do not associate PHPBB as much with security issues as they did back then. You still have these sort of some of the old school people who are, who aren't very familiar with any updates and stuff that are still kind of like, PHPBB didn't have security issues. And it's easy to explain now because PHPBB 3 has now been released for 2 years and there's been no serious security issues with it. So it's easy to say, well, it's the most popular bulletin board software in the world. 3.0 is run by more bulletin boards than any other software, and there's been no security issue. That says a lot. Yeah. That's really that says a lot of really good things about the security within PHPBB now since the Santee Worm issue in 2005.
And as we said, it's a rewrite of what we had before. You cannot make the comparison. The only things are the same are some of the file names have the same name as the last version.
Right.
You still have index.php, for example.
Well, most pieces of software have that file.
You still have viewtopic.php. I think viewforum still exists, but I think that's about it. The name is the same.
A lot has changed. Since then, and like you said, the entire code has been rewritten for the most part. But not only has the way the security model been approached, has that been changed, but the entire way the team behaves has been changed. We've worked very, very hard over the last 5 years to basically undo all the security issues that we've had in the past, and so far we've been very successful at that, and it's been great to see the reputation start coming back to PHPBB to the point now where if you mention the name, security isn't the first thing that comes to mind.
Absolutely,
you don't see the discussions on .com anymore about security issues or things like that. It's just not the way people view the software anymore, and that's a great thing to know.
And I even find it very interesting because you mentioned sort of the way the teams operate has changed. It's sort of interesting for me to look back at these old announcements because just sort of the tone of the announcements, the way that the announcements were written then, are so different from the way it is now. Now it's quite a bit more professional, but also quite a bit more on the same level with the community. We've kind of talked before about this is still kind of back in the day where, in practice, the teams kind of operated with this aura of sort of being above the community, and that aura has, for the most part, dissipated since then.
It's been basically very isolated. The teams were, everything that went on behind the scenes was essentially under an NDA. Nothing got out. It was basically very isolated. There was this complete separation between the community and between the teams, and breaking down those walls is something that we've worked very hard to accomplish. And I think that's also helped us a lot in terms of security, is we've been able to open up, you know, the code a lot more to the community, things like the QA team.
Junior developers.
Junior developers, junior mod team, things like that.
And the QA team, which is fairly good size, too.
And that will probably help minimize the chance of an exploit being reported and at first saying, oh, this is not an exploit. 3 days later, oh, it was an exploit. Very serious. It was a mistake, and people can make that mistake, but when you have that many more, people with access towards contributing towards addressing security and quality assurance, we still like to call it quack and assassinate, but when we have that, I think that really does help to minimize the chance of making that kind of a goof.
Yeah, absolutely. If you got just that many more people testing the fix that you just implemented or testing a supposed security issue. It's interesting to note that the QA team is so independent by itself. It's weird that even though there is a little bit of separation between the actual teams and the QA team, you go into the bug tracker and you see that practically every single bug that is reported as having a fix, there's like six people that have posted saying, I've confirmed this fix. And it's just something that goes on behind the scenes that's very much involving the community, but it's interesting to see how active it really is.
Absolutely. So, little bit of, you know, PHPBB history. I know that it is kind of a sensitive topic to talk about, because I had when we said I wanted to talk about this today, there were a few people who were like, you know, feeling a little bit iffy about it. But I think that there's a lot that can be learned from this. For those of people who are the soldiers on the ground, and Adam, you are one of the few remaining people who was on the ground at that time, you know, we salute you. Veterans Day was this past week, wasn't it? Yes, it was. I think that it's real. There's a lot we can say that we've learned from it, and
reminds me of real men of genius.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say so much anymore that there's a lot we can learn from it, but rather say that we have learned from it in the past, and we're completely beyond that now.
Absolutely.
That's not anything that enters our mind. We don't refer to that incident and say, oh, look what happened here. We need to do stuff differently now. We've already put a plan in place. We've already implemented a new development model. We don't have to worry about that specific issue anymore.
It's really kind of like a turning point, you could say, you know.
We've already turned. We're beyond it.
It's like the Pearl Harbor that led PHPBB to have great victory in World War II.
That's one way to put it.
And if you are an administrator of PHPBB bulletin boards, the lesson you learned from it is, this is why you keep updating. It's easier than ever now to update. So update. The updates don't come out that often, so update.
Unless you have like 96 mods. No.
Well, if you have...
According to someone I saw on the support forum the other day.
Yes.
PHP-93.
You're kidding. It's kind of... You look at it, you're kidding me, right? You know, did you forget that it's just a bulletin board, or are you trying to make a social network out of it? I mean, what's going on?
If PHP-3, what's the point? I can see 96 mods in PHP-2, but for 3? I don't see the need for it.
I can see the need for third-party apps and doing a lot of, you know, bigger things built on PHPBB, but having a whole bunch of, I don't know.
If you're going to take it to that level, for crying out loud, install Joomla and just hook the two together, you know. Be done with it. Don't screw up, you know, something so good, but yeah. I would say go Joomla and use plugins if you need to, but.
There you go. Let's see. There are a few other things we wanted to touch on. We always like to keep our eye on the events and meetings forum. And Paul, on the support team, is organizing a Dutch PHP BB meetup on Saturday, November 28th, in 2 weeks, at the HCC Dagen 2009. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. It says that the several team members from both phpbb.nl and phpbbservice.nl, along with a few phpbb.com team members, attending the meeting. In a way, it's kind of like how we did a OSCONvasion last July, David. It looks like it's sort of being coordinated with an existing conference.
Oh, cool.
Excuse me. And you, you know, it's a free meetup. They don't have like a time or anything, but you do have to pay for, you know, entrance costs at the HCC Dagen, which is €750 if you buy ahead of time, or day of at €1,250. So you can get those there. But yeah, if you are in the Netherlands or sort of nearby, since, you know, I know Europe is so, you know, close together to everything.
It's kind of like the states in the U.S. No,
no, it's even, they're even closer together, I think.
Yeah, well, so the New England states of the U.S., how's that?
That's better, that's true. Over here, I can go to 2.5 states in one day.
Yes, exactly. You know, or more, you know, go north and you can cross like 3 or 4 states in a day.
Well,
out here it takes you a day and a half to cross one state.
Oh, no kidding. Totally. I mean, on the same metro train, the same subway, I can go through 2.5 states in a day.
Hey, day and a half, David, you can be in a different country.
In an hour. Yeah, that's true, because there you go.
Of course, in Florida, I could jump on a boat and be in another country in a day and a half, but yeah.
we won't go there.
You only have the option of one country.
Kinda.
Unless you go to Texas. Texas is another country.
Yeah, I could go on the other side. I could, you know, go out 30 miles to the Bahamas, you know, so.
Well, Paul will be there. It looks like Durkee of the Mod Team will be there. Eric Frirajon is probably going to be there, it looks like. Some others might have responded, so it's still early on, but we'll have the link if you're interested in joining up there. go check it out. And sort of on a similar note, I'm still working on getting a DC meetup event here next March. So there is a link to that if you're interested. I have some ideas. So if you want to come and go to the nation's capital, where I'm spending all my time, and next spring, then, you know, have a little meetup there, you know, do some touring maybe, chat, whatever, we'll see. So
actually, I'll say this now, I may actually be able to make it up there for that. I was planning a trip to Philadelphia in April anyway. I may be able to go up there and just basically push that back.
Into March?
March.
There you go.
I may be able to do that. I've got some family in Philadelphia that I'd be visiting. So,
well, Philly is a little ways from here.
Well, it's closer than anywhere else.
You can hop a train, though. So
yeah, hop a train, half a day, you know, so,
yeah. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I may be able to do that. I'll have to see how things work out, if that works out at all. But
what about you, David? Do you have any family over in the East Coast?
I don't.
You want to pretend that you have family on the East Coast?
Yeah.
We'll talk about that more when it gets a little more off the ground, but it should be fun. Let's move on. Get the show closing out with our mod style of the week. The mod of the week is by one of our more frequently mentioned authors, RMcGurr83, called Contact Board Admin. This is actually kind of a nice... excuse me. That's something in my throat today, man. Kind of a nice mod in that it creates a contact form that you have control over, but that users can use to contact the administrator of the board. You have to fill in your name, email address. There can be specified reasons for contacting them. You know, subject. You have all these smileys, and, you know, formatting you can choose from. Type in your message. Support for CAPTCHA plugins. So the demo site that he has actually shows off the sortables CAPTCHA plugin. So this is actually the first time I got to try it myself, which is kind of fun. Even support for attachments. You should be able to determine whether guests or registered users or both can use this. They can send an email to the admins, or send a PM, or just make a post in a designated forum. This is actually very nice for a number of reasons, because, and I think we'd almost would like to see it sort of as a built-in option, because there are times when people need to contact you about something going on with on your site, but they're not actually members. So, like, if there's a copyright violation on your site, or people are hot linking, for example, or they can't, maybe they can't read a CAPTCHA to save their lives, or something like that. This is a great tool to allow people to have a way to contact the administrator of your board for various reasons without them already having to become members of your board. So, I mean, it's up to you how you want to use it or set it up, but I think this is a great tool to have installed in your board. So, and I would, like I said, I almost, this would be something I would almost recommend maybe to have like as a built-in option in PHPBB, because I think that is kind of an important thing to have, some way for users to get to you, and it's very well designed. So, contact board admin by R. McGurr 83. That is the mod of the week. And the style of the week, David. I told you not to look at this till we actually got to this point. So go ahead and look at it, because I'd like to get your, I want to get your impression of it. It is called Pro iPhone by Samurai Design.
Wow.
You seeing it?
Yeah. Huh.
It's pretty cool.
That's kind
huh?
of impressive, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like an oversized iPhone interface, interpretive sort of style. When was this released?
I don't know.
It's for 3.0.5 style version Pro Silver.
That's still the newest version.
Viewed 31,415 times. That can't be that recent.
Let's, if this doesn't help. Wow, his own Samurai Design site is kind of cool too.
It has it's kind of funny. It has a like a Wi-Fi indicator, a signal strength indicator, a battery indicator, and a clock.
The clock
just like you would
counting.
On the iPhone.
The clock, yes. Unlike the iPhone, the clock is counting the time for you.
Mm-hmm.
You have the nav bar on top, which looks just like kind of the top bar on the iPhone, which hovers over for your forum homepage. The FAQ, member list, login, or it says connect or disconnect. It's kind of weird. Register, all that up there. You have their search. Then you have kind of a Pro Silver-like interface here, but the colors are actually fairly close to what you would get for the iPhone. Now, it's not, you know, they didn't really try to make it that, convert the Pro Silver part to iPhone look like menus, but I'm not sure that would probably make it a little more confusing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they use the iPhone developer tools or what'd you call it? STK. Yeah, I don't know if they use that on here, but they certainly did a good job recreating much of the graphics. I felt like they could have done a little bit more on the Pro Silver part, but you know, there's only it's like okay, well, it is a. It does still have to look like a form. It still does have to work like a form. But yeah. I think they did a pretty good job with that.
I think it's a nice mix of really making it look like an iPhone, but still keeping some at least something familiar.
Have you heard about the iPhone? And this is so this is really cool. Let's finish up on this, and then I'll tell you about something really cool that I saw, which I'll go and search for. But I like this style. This is really cool.
Yeah, I thought that's why I said
it's unique. It's a black style, which I'm not a fan of black styles, but
well, the iPhone is kind of a black.
It inspires
sort of a black layout. Actually, all of Apple's products these days kind of inspire a black layout because it has the black bezel around the screen motif with the glass, you know. So, but yeah, I think that's kind of cool. And you know, if you have a forum that talks about Apple stuff or iPhones. This is the kind of theme you might want to include as an option or as the default. I think it's kind of nice.
All right, so this
tech forum, so.
So there's this application that's being developed. It's in RC for PHPBB. Actually, it's not. It is for PHPBB, but it's actually for smartphones: the iPhone, the Nokia, the Android, and the BlackBerry. and and probably the droid now. It's called Tapatalk. This is really interesting because it is it's like a iPhone application for PHPBB. So instead of viewing topics in the typical, you know, topic layout, you actually view it in the iPhone style on the iPhone. So you're not actually viewing like web pages, but it's
are you saying this is an iPhone dedicated app or an iPhone design that you can do within the web browser?
This is an iPhone dedicated app. That's integrated with, that's meant to integrate with your PHPBB installation. And what they've done is basically, I think, as far as I know, they've created like an API for PHPBB. So you actually install like an API within PHPBB that enables this iPhone application to access that board in this way.
Would it be like one application can access unlimited boards, or a case where one application dedicated to one board, you could have multiple applications?
I think, I could be wrong, but I think that you have to actually have the API installed on the board that this app is being used for.
Yeah, but I mean, is it one app that can go to multiple boards with the API, or would it be something like where the admin could create like their own dedicated app for their forum?
No, as long as if you had 100 boards with the API, this one app would work for all 100 boards.
See, I have a hard time seeing that as well as easily, because I would think that it would be a little more natural for a forum to be able to have a iPhone dedicated sort of a style that you see and that you load in Safari on the iPhone, because of the fact that, you know, you go to a forum and you have different forums and you're just kind of going there. It seems more natural.
Mm-hmm.
Like where blogging is different, but like applications for blogging, you would, you know, open the blogging app to write your post and do that. But it's a one way thing. It's not like for interaction.
Right. So check out those two.
Yeah, I'm surprised that someone really hasn't done an iPhone template for PHPBB yet. I think there's been a couple of attempts on it, but nothing really solid.
I think there should be. Yeah. I mean, I know, David, you have a Star Trek guide mobile style, but it's not. Which is a like a slim down mobile version.
Yeah, but for phones. Yeah,
but it's not, you know, as like, it doesn't try to imitate the iPhone like I've seen a lot of sites do.
Right. No, this is it doesn't try to imitate the iPhone, and I think it would be really cool to imitate the iPhone. But this sort of this actually creates its own sort of interface for PHPBB in that sort of way. So you could theoretically do that.
It's interesting because
I actually posted a link to the topic and a screenshot of the. It shows like 9 screenshots of the app on the iPhone, but it works with all different kinds of phones. You know that they have one for the iPhone, the Nokia, the Android, and I'm sure the Droid now and the BlackBerry.
No, a mod that I wanted to try back in like 2005, 2006 was to create a Mac dashboard widget. I think that could do that. Type of thing. I think it was a dashboard widget. Yeah, and like an API type of setup, but I really didn't get very far with that.
Okay, so here's this is pretty cool. Here's some more screenshots. I'll post the link in the chat room. There's a topic on phpv.com that illustrates it a little bit. So you can, you know, it has the interface where you like refresh, reply, subscribe to the topic, you know, and the way that it's laid out is in such a way that it makes reading the topics really, really easy on the iPhone, because it's, instead of being like a web browser, it just simplifies it.
Interesting. Maybe we'll have to get them on the show sometime.
Yeah, it's a cool little piece. And it is kind of interesting too, because it's a paid app, you know, $2.99. And listed on php.com. Hopefully they will validate that, despite that fact.
And that's actually, but they actually can do that because the app is actually physically separate from the API. The API would have to be GPL.
No, you can still sell GPL software. That's true. The GNU actually encourages people to sell GPL software, and I think more developers should, because really they need to be paid for the time that they spend developing. And a lot of people don't, you know, really think that way, but they really should be.
They should, but it's still, you know, this is kind of an example of where, you know, the app can actually can be separate from the DPL because it's not, whereas the API would obviously be GPL'd.
Right. Yeah.
Because the two codes are completely separate. They can interact, but you know they're operating in separate areas.
Yeah, but what I like about that mostly, you know, is the fact that, you know, you do have the iPhone developers, which are very there's a lot of iPhone developers. And the reason why is because you can actually make money developing applications for the iPhone. Reason why PHPB doesn't have as many mod developers is because, you know, you simply do not make money developing for PHPBB.
So are you saying that the mod team now needs to open up, convert the mod database to the mod store?
Well, I don't know that that'd be the case, and I don't think that they would even go that way either. So, but it's just an interesting observation, really. But I'm glad to see this sort of thing come out. This is great to see.
I think there was some adverse reaction to my mod store idea in the chat room. Okay. Well, that's it for today's show. Check out our website, phpbweekly.net. Also, we are live every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC time. You can join us live every week for that on our chat room, phpbweekly.net/live, or on IRC, but, you know, /live, you can listen to the show live. You know the drill by now, I hope. Also, we have our forum at StarTrekGuide.com. Our next episode will be next Saturday, November 21st for 1 p.m. Eastern. I just said the time. Episode number 129. We are getting very close to the end of the year, David.
Yes, we are.
I am so excited. I have only 31 days left till I get to go home. Where Techie Michael now lives.
Yes, you switched places.
I know. How about that? Because he was like in Virginia, wasn't he?
Yeah, or Carolina, I can't remember.
Well, and I'm just north of Virginia, just barely.
Right.
You know, the sales tax is much cheaper in Virginia.
He's in the chat room. Oh, no, wait, he was. He left.
Oh, well. Now he and I are hopefully going to have a chance to meet up during winter break, so that'll be fun. But that's it for today's show. Adam, thanks again for agreeing to join us today. It's always great to have you on.
Absolutely. Anytime.
And enjoy that 82-degree weather.
Yeah, and I will enjoy the 29-degree weather and the snow that's still on the ground. I can't believe it. It looks like Christmas out here.
Go do that scoff, David.
Grab an ice chest and shift some of that snow down here to me.
Yeah. Some people know we did actually film a scoff in the snow, and it turned out really funny. But we actually have to re-record.
Funnier than the one you did last year with the snow?
Okay, that one was audio. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yes, yeah,
it is more. It is more funny because it's video. Wait till you see it. It'll be very, very funny. We have to get. It has to snow again to really get the humor effect. So we need to snow again and then film again. So
I doubt it can be funnier. I'm sorry. The idea of selling snow on Craigslist was just too much fun.
Okay. Well, wait till you see this one. It's funny in a different way.
Selling it on eBay this time.
different way.
eBay is different than Craigslist. Alright, that's it for the show. Thanks. Remember, a successful community begins with you. Tag,
you're it.
See you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.